Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good morning, welcome. My name is Tara Fracano, and I'm glad to have you join me here today on Moms Watching Media. Today is October 27th, 2020, just days before Election Day. I have a question. What if Governor Cuomo shuts down New York State just before Election Day, preventing thousands of citizens from voting? I'd like to welcome a friend of mine, Lydia Patty Ruffini, to the show to discuss this important issue and many others. Lydia was born in Western New York and resides in CNY just down the road from me. Her insight on the issues that surround us is priceless. I'd like to welcome Lydia. Hi, Lydia. How are you today?
Well, hey there, Sarah. How's it going? Oh, I'm doing okay. My head is spinning from your topic. I mean, mind-blowing is undoubtedly the war cry of 2020. It's a very good point. You know, who'd have thought a year ago that our Governor Cuomo would have had as much power as he has? Told me that I have to not go to the places of business that I normally go to, that I'm not allowed to go to my church, that our children are not allowed to go to schools. It is just amazing at the amount of power I no longer have.
Absolutely. It's definitely a very concerning time for everyone. I mean, it really is a twilight zone, more of a feel. It doesn't feel, it's very surreal. You know, I want to reach out to the callers too. I'd like to give the phone number so others can call in and join in on the discussion. If you'd like to call in and join in, the phone number is 319-527-6208. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, press 1 to connect. It's important that we get a lot of people talking about what's going on here and just having open dialogues. I mean, that's what's so important in our country right now is communication. And honestly, I truly get the feel that it was not about a virus. It was about muzzling us. Because if we weren't going to churches and we weren't going to town board meetings and we weren't in the schools and we weren't on the baseball field, I mean, think about it. We're going into almost a year of this craziness. And now we're facing Election Day. And I hope I'm wrong about my predictions with this, because it's more of a gut feeling that it's potentially something that could happen, because look at how much fear is being built up. Look what's happening right now. I mean, and most of these cases that we're seeing across New York State, correct me if I'm wrong, they're not in the hospital. Have you seen much that our hospitals are being flooded, Lydia?
No, I haven't. And as a matter of fact, we're still hearing things. We just had our fourth case in Cuyahoga County last week. I'm sure you've seen that. Fourth death in Cuyahoga County. Now, what I've read supposedly or allegedly from a family member was that this person had a long-term illness, started out hospitalized in a different county, was in that hospital for about 3 weeks, and then moved to 7 different facilities, and then finally passed it in Auburn Community Hospital. And what was even more alarming than that was the fact that this person stated every new facility that did an intake on this patient claimed this as a new COVID case.
It's incredible. I mean, the numbers have been shifted so much. I mean, Governor Cuomo was informed by analysis groups that we were going to lose so much small business at the beginning if we did the shutdown. He was also informed that there was many false positives coming in on these rapid tests too. So now you have people moving around in there. And why would a gentleman that is so ill get bumped around so many times? That
it's
is a
very
little
good question.
You see where I'm going with that. And I mean, for me, I hope that he doesn't shut us down. This whole thing is just so crazy. I mean, it's still a virus. with a 99% recovery rate. And I do know that it is a 94% recovery rate for those over 70. And yes, the elderly should always be cautious. Infants, you know, infants and elderly, it's what we've always known. They should always be cautious because their immune systems are lower than, you know, everybody else in that sense. So yes, it doesn't matter what the cold or virus or is, you know, those people tend to need to take precautions no matter what it is. But I mean, you and I are seeing that, like, there's no more sickness at all. There's just COVID. There's only COVID, and it's the only thing that's happening in this world. And we're not even seeing the mass destruction of everything else come out in the mainstream media. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing all the floating virus, you know, pictures and how we're supposed to be so afraid. But I don't know. How about you? Are you going to go early vote?
You know, it's funny that you're bringing up this topic because I have always been a election day voter. When they started talking about mail-in votes, I panicked because I saw the possibility for fraud. And I don't care if you're left side, right side, upside or downside, you know that once a piece of paper leaves your hands, you have just lost complete control over it. Have you ever filed a paper away in your own home, in your own office, in your own room, and then looked for hours to find it because you could not possibly find it?
Oh, yes. I call them all my special spots, and then I never find them again.
Exactly. But you know that they're there. This is the first thing that came to mind when they started talking about this explosion of paper ballots. You know, who is going to account for all of these, and what does that do to our vote? So I knew for sure I was not going to vote by paper ballot, going to vote on Election Day. And as we're getting closer and I'm hearing people being concerned about the spread of the virus and that there may be a leap, you know, there are other illnesses, like you said, right? We're heading into flu season. There are people who are ill and maybe with compromised immune systems, and maybe if I go early, and this is where it started, if I go early, I may be helping somebody else who cannot go early. I have a flexible work schedule, so I will go early to help prevent any issues. So I was going to go Thursday, but with this discussion today, I'm going tomorrow.
Okay.
If I could go today, I would, but no, we'll go tomorrow, and that's our goal. You know,
Lydia,
Tara,
we have another caller. You want to bring another caller in to open up the discussion further?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Hold on. We're having a little bit of an issue connecting. Hold on 1 second. Sorry for the dead silence. Okay,
I was going to make a point. You got them?
Yes, go on. You go on.
Okay, just while we were waiting, I was going to fill in the dark spot.
Oh, hi there. How are you? Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you. It's Doreen.
Hi, Doreen. I'm glad you joined in.
I've just been thinking a lot about what you said this morning about the state closing down,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just really, really concerned about that, because what would happen with all our votes and the people that would not be allowed to vote? I just don't know how legally the government could close down polling places.
Well, we know that. We know that that could be – well, we know that he doesn't follow laws. He makes his own laws. You know, that's my perspective on Governor Cuomo, and many of the governors across the country are just doing exactly what they want. And this is extraordinary times right now. We're in a time frame where, like Lydia had stated before, is that a year ago, we never thought for 1 second that Governor Cuomo could tell us not to go to church or to the store. Or to anywhere. So at this point, I know that legally, you know, how could he possibly do that? Well, he was given unlimited executive powers to protect us. So on the devil's advocate aspect of this, he's going to try to protect the citizens of New York.
Right. Hi, Lydia.
How
you doing, Doreen? I'm glad that you called in, too. This is a great opportunity to chat with Tara and to share all of our positions with the rest of the folks listening. One thing that I was thinking about was when Tara presented this earlier today, Democrats and Republicans, I believe, will be equally hurt. And maybe if Governor Cuomo hears this message, it may stall any form of blocking voters. And maybe it'll hurt the Democrats even more. And this is why I'm saying this. Workplaces typically allow, and there are laws enforcing this, workplaces allow for time off on Election Day, and on Election Day only. And
right.
I think that a ton of Republicans have been out voting early already for the sake of social distancing, like what I talked about earlier. So I think that Governor Cuomo would be hurting himself and his cause equally or even more.
Oh, I'm sure.
I agree.
That's why.
I mean, ultimately, it would hurt.
That's why, you know, I don't like a lot of things he's done, especially when it came to 100% closing things and opening churches very limited and taking that freedom away from people, even though they did have Zoom and stuff like that. But what about the 80-year-old lady that doesn't have a computer and who went to church faithfully every single Sunday and sat in the third pew every single Sunday? You know, what is she doing? So
it's very concerning. It's actually caused so much depression across our nation that the suicide rates are up, drug addiction is up. I mean, we can attest in our own county, because we're all from the same county, that the opioid crisis has gone up during these during the shutdown time. I mean, child abuse, child sexual abuse is so high. I remember Senator Pam Helming raising her concerns about the child sexual abuse that was occurring during this pandemic. I mean, just the child abuse in general, just people are separating. We're having separation of marriages due to this. It's creating such stress, financial stress. Yes, did we get bones thrown at us with the stimulus check? Sure, but that ran out. And now there's people feeling the pinch all over the place. So now we're in such a troubling time where people are confused. We have so much going on in the media. We have everything that's going on with the judge, with the Supreme Court justice being appointed. And, you know, God bless her. And I'm praying for Amy. And I hope that this all works out. And I hope that they don't, you know, I hope that people stay calm no matter what side of the aisle they are on with this. I just hope that there's not this uptick. But I do also know that if we look at the facts, that they've been moving and mobilizing the state National Guards in many states. And we know that in New York, they're at our major airports, right? They're making sure that anybody that comes in from another state is filling out all the quarantine stuff. But they're kind of just hanging there, aren't they? They're just hanging there in limbo, where Texas has now said they're going to send them and disperse them out into 5 major cities in Texas. And we know that there is a huge push to flip Texas next week, a huge push to flip Texas. And there was a lot of people that moved, and I don't know if you ladies remember, a couple of years ago, there was this tidal wave of an exodus that happened in California. And where were they going? There, a lot of them were going to Texas, correct? And Texas was very serious when they said, you know, if you're going to come here, you leave your progressive notions at home there in California, because we're a red state. Well, now look what's happened to Texas. Just systematically over the last few years, they're having more and more progressive change in their society. Here in New York, we're used to the progressive growth. It's commonplace for us. It's been a very hard fight throughout this entire, years of having problems in our state. But Texas, I mean, it's like a litmus. You almost can see, it's almost like you can see what's going on in those types of states from the outside. You know, I'm very fortunate to have a lot of friends in Texas that inform me about it, because I know a lot of people over the years are like, I'm moving to Texas. And people in Texas will be like, oh, guys, it's a little crazy out here. And I know that this shutdown, I mean, we all can admit that Governor Cuomo warned us that there could be another shutdown. And we know that in the news, we're seeing an uptick of cases, all asymptomatic, because our hospitals are not overrun by no means. But now there's these astronomical numbers of asymptomatic patients. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that there is no shutdown before Election Day. But I think, why not just go out and vote as early as you can and get your vote in. And, Lydia, I agree with you.
Well, and you've got to go early. Because I just got a text from a friend who went over to the Auburn polling place, and the line is from the Y Field, if you know the Y Field, all the way back to Hamilton Avenue, which means probably a 2 hour to 2.5 hour wait.
And so pack them on.
And they said that they were there, lining up at 7:45 this morning.
Oh, boy. Lydia, what were you saying?
And Doreen, that's the Y Field on Mary Street, the voter poll place?
Okay.
Right. So you know what I would suggest you do? Go to Cato.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a very
it's
good
a
idea. Or if you're down south. Right, it is
it's
a beautiful
ride.
Or down to
it
Venice.
Would be a beautiful ride with all the colors. That's what I'm going to do, is go to Cato.
And Tara, would you mind very much posting that poll places post that you put up? Would you mind putting that up on your page again today? Thank you.
Absolutely. No problem.
Yeah, because
they
gave
the
locations and the time.
Yeah, I had a friend that went to Venice yesterday, and there was nobody there. She was the only one there. I mean, they had a lot of votes in and out, but when she was there, they said it was steady, but it wasn't lined like Auburn was.
Oh, well, that's good.
So,
you know,
so
I would
encourage you to go to the outskirts.
I agree. It might be a better idea. I know in some counties they were only given maybe one or two locations, but we have, you know, we are fortunate to have three because we have such a big county and the distance is so far.
Yeah,
and
Venice
I know that
would be closer for you, Tara.
Yeah, that's right. It would. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, don't let them be slick. They're being so slick, we need to see them as they're coming. And if he doesn't shut us down, then our votes are in. You know what I mean? The people at the Board of Elections in each county, we have to trust in the ability that they are going to do their job thoroughly. I know that, Doreen, you are one of the workers that were helping with that process, and it's a very thorough process. Would you like to explain to the people about how the process goes down when the early voting ballots come in?
Well, the machines, just like Election Day, spits out, you know, you've do the report, and you can tell how many people voted. But I was working with absentee ballots, and once they come into the post office and the post office delivers them to the Board of Elections, we have to open the envelopes, the outside envelope, the ballot envelope, and then we have to date them. The ballot itself, we have to date the envelope for the ballot. We have to date. And then we go to a computer and we have to check every single signature. And then after we check the signatures, then we go back and we put, we have to go to another program and the ballot was received. And then from there, they go to the mail room where there's cubicles for every precinct, like 11, 1, 2, and 3, Town of Troop, 1 and 2, Town of Brutus, 1 and 2. And we have to file them in alphabetical order to the precinct. And then I've never counted ballots in the later years. I did years and years ago, but I've never done absentee count lately. When the group comes in to do the absentee ballots, every signature's checked again, and then they're opened, and we're fortunate that we do have a machine now that actually you put the ballot through and it counts all the ballots. So we don't have to do them 1, 2, 3 like we used to by hand in the old days. So it's much faster. But I really would encourage, you can't do this, but I would encourage anybody that questions, what do these women do at the Board of Elections, to go down there and sit down in a chair and watch what they do every day. Because even when it's not election time, there are so much work to do in that office that you will get a whole new respect for what they do, because they are one group of busy ladies. And,
yeah,
you know, their work isn't done the day after Election Day.
Nope, not
the day after
not
Election
this
Day.
Year.
The day after Election Day, they're starting on next year's elections.
That's
so,
right. And this year they're going to be even counting for longer because everything's going to still be coming in. There's a lot of work, and you know, God bless all those that are involved and work diligently to make sure that our elections are true and that they're counted correctly. And I do. I understand, because it is easy. It's easier for counties like ours with a smaller population to check the validity of everything, because there's much more accountability and there's a million points of checking in our county. My issue, and Lydia, you could probably attest that my concern is those bigger areas where things could go awry. I've had friends tell me who work polls downstate that their chips would get changed in the city, that the memory chips that get put into the machines, people would come in, the Democrat representatives, mind you, would come in and change those chips midday, those memory chips. So there's a lot of questionable things. And yes, I always agree smaller is better. That's why I moved from Long Island to the country and upstate New York, because in central New York here, because smaller is better. And I love New York. I love New York. And the problem I'm having with New York right now is that not ours anymore. It's not ours. Doreen, I want to thank you so much for that input on what the people do at the Board of Elections, because many don't know the process, and we don't know how it's counted and tabulated and, you know, and calculated and all of that, and how the checks and crossing T's and making sure that everything is right. And it's a lot of work for our Board of Elections to go through this.
And I just want to share one other thing. I had someone say to me the other day, how do I know if I voted absentee, how do I know my ballot is going to count? How do I know it isn't being changed? We've got two great commissioners, Cheryl and Katie, and they're on top of it. And the deputy commissioners are wonderful to work with, and Nadine and Jean, the other two workers in the office full-time, they're a great bunch of ladies. And I just, the respect I have for that office is, I just can't even explain it after working there for the last 3 weeks. But the thing I do want to say is our county's absentee ballots are very, very safe. Every envelope that's open is opened by a Republican and a Democrat. Everything that's done is done by a Republican and a Democrat. So either two people are being dishonest or no one is. And in this county, no one is dishonest.
And I agree. I definitely agree that in our county, I feel like my vote is secure if I was to do a mail-in ballot. And now at this point, We are forced with, I mean, I, you know, a lot of people like to vote on election day. There's other states that have had early voting for years, and they will go and early vote. And I have friends that are Republican that will go and vote early because it was offered to them in prior years. But now we're confronted with the idea that now it's too late. It being Tuesday, exactly one day, 1 week before election day, that it would be damn near impossible for those to get a mail-in ballot, you know, get their request in and then mailed out in time and be able to put it in the mail in time. Do you understand what I'm
saying?
They
wouldn't be able to. They'd have to bring it to the Board of Elections. Or they can drop it off at a polling site. There's boxes at the
polling
site. Pardon?
But it's very likely, it's very possible, and I hope I'm wrong, and I said it earlier in my live feed on Facebook today, that we could get shut down. And we could get shut down, and this is the likes of nothing we've ever seen before. This is something we've never contended with.
I said to a friend yesterday, why did you early vote? Can I ask you? Because she always, always voted on election day. And she said, what if it snows? What if I'm sick? What if, what if, what if? Today I feel good. I'm going.
There you go.
So,
you know, I mean, that's me. I'm going tonight. Lydia, you know, Lydia said that she's probably going tomorrow. And
what
you
time
know,
is
Lydia,
voting
what's...
today? I don't have it in front of me.
It's to 8 o'clock. It's 12 to 8 today and 12 to 8 tomorrow. And then Thursday was 7 to 3. No, yeah, it was 7 to 3 on Thursday. I'll pull it back up. I have the information. Just for our county, I you know, I forgive me that I don't have more polling site information for other counties, but you can find them on your county's Board of Election website in your county to find out those early times.
Syracuse is extending their weekend hours.
Yes,
oh,
that
wow,
just happened
really?
Today. They were going to be increasing their weekend hours because of the
turnout.
That's
a little telling. But that's a little telling,
isn't it? I'm not sure what their hours are going to be, but they've extended them quite a lot. In fact, the Democrat election commissioner was on TV last night on the 11 o'clock news, and he said that I think it was Cicero, their polling place never shut down until almost 8 o'clock last night, and they were supposed to shut down at 5.
Whoa. That's,
but once
once
you're in line, they can't shut down. They have to let you vote. They can't say, okay, Lydia, we're shutting down.
That.
Come back tomorrow. They can't do that.
So they're taking every single person that shows up.
Right. What they would probably do is put a marker, like a cone or something, behind the last person and ask them to drag it with them that you're the last person.
Gotcha. Well, I really appreciate that, you know, that information because, you know, ultimately that something says a little crazy that they're extending their hours too. I mean, you still have election day. And the thing about election day is you have more polls. So why would they have to add hours to this weekend if election day even has more polling sites than you do during early voting? Do you see where I'm going with this? I mean, I know they like to call me a conspiracy theorist.
Are you saying you know something? You might know something, or they might know something that we don't know?
Yes.
Oh.
Because if we have more polling sites on election day, then why would you have to extend hours on Saturday and Sunday? We have more sites on election day like we've always had, so now they're extending it. So, I mean, hey, I hope he doesn't shut us down because it was killer before and it's still killing us. I mean, it's almost like a cancer. Once he shut us down, even for 1 month, businesses are having a hard time even recouping.
Right.
So now
I just want to. I just want to throw out to everybody: if you do go to vote, even early or on election day, remember wear your mask. Some people said, I'm wearing gloves, and that's okay. Make sure that you have your mask because we do have masks for those that might forget them to give out. But if you don't have a mask and you refuse to wear a mask, we would ask you to wait until the room clears out totally, and then we would tell the people we have someone that doesn't want to wear a mask, so we'll be with you shortly. That person can come in and vote and then go out another door. So Cheryl and Katie, really, they've got this down to a T, and it's great. I mean, a friend of mine went and voted yesterday, and she said it was so professional, and it just went so smooth. You walked in, you signed in, they gave you your ballot, you went to the kiosk, then you went to the voting machine, and you walked out. She said there was no confusion. It was just very like an assembly line. And I said, that's good to hear.
Good.
It was a positive experience for you.
Well, thank you, Doreen. I really appreciate you calling in, and your opinion always means so much to me. You've been a great inspiration for a long time for me now, and you have educated me about the past, the present, and potentially the future. And you know,
I just want to remind your listeners one thing, and then I've got to go. We're not Republican. We're not Democrat. We're not conservatives. We are Americans.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Doreen, for calling.
Bye, Lydia.
Take care, Doreen. It was great to hear you.
Okay, you too. Bye, Tara.
Bye-bye.
So, Tara, I looked up the Onondaga County election places, the early election places, and they have six of them. Claytown Hall on Route 31, the Armand Magnarelli Center on Grand Boulevard at McChesney Park, Camillus Fire Station, their rear entrance on Newport Road, DeWitt Town Hall Courtroom on Butternut Drive, Syracuse Community Connections on South Ave, and Lafayette Fire Station Number 1, their rear entrance. And all of this information is listed on ongov.net. /elections/early voting.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that information, because it's hard for everyone to know where to look or how to find the information. Not everybody knows exactly where to go for that. And in Syracuse, we definitely need a lot of voter turnout there. And doesn't it seem a little strange to you, though, that they added hours, especially with the amount of, you know, once Election Day hits, there's voting polls everywhere in every district. So why would they have to extend their hours?
Well, you know what? I guess the thing that would make me feel a little bit better about it is if we're concerned about them shutting everything down on Friday, these extensions are on the weekend. So
you can make the announcement Friday, and it could happen Monday. I mean, it could even happen the day before. You know, I mean, that's what concerns me, is that it just seems so shady. I mean, they made such a big deal last year about removing religious exemptions for vaccines and early voting. And they changed the election laws so many times that you can change your party 3 times now a year in New York, where the year before that they made it damn near impossible to change your party. So, I mean, even for myself, when they booted me off of the Right to Life Party in New York State, and it went to the No Party, Independence Party is what it was in, and I went to go change during the 2016 presidential election. I went to the voting polls during the primary of that year, and I changed my party. My party affiliation didn't take effect until after Election Day. Now you can change in 1 year, one cycle, one term. Now in New York, which happened in 1 year, you can change your party 3 times. And that is all of this rush, and then all of a sudden COVID hits. And all of it is in favor of sequestering our voices. I mean, I still think that we were always meant to be shut down and locked down so we wouldn't talk. They didn't want us going to board meetings. They didn't want us going to church, because where do people, I know when I go to my church afterwards, we're there for another half an hour just talking about all different things. What about you? Is that how it is at your church too?
Oh, absolutely. We probably spend just as much time after Mass chatting with people as we do sitting and listening to the sermon and the service.
Yeah, well, some other things. What else is on your mind, Lydia? What are you thinking about this year and how it's going forward?
Well, in talking about the ability to switch parties, it doesn't matter what we're labeled as. We can still vote for whomever we choose. So if they want to restrict the way I can label myself, that's fine for them. I know what that means. And that brings me to the point of people who don't know. You know, a lot of people are walking around not knowing, you know, what are my rights? What can I do? What can't I do? You know, when you hear the word sheep a lot right now. And unfortunately, many of our county folks, many of our country folks, many of the people in our entire nation are scared because they don't know what to do. And then what happens with fear? Well, fear is an emotion, and everybody over the age of 12, and I'm sorry to use that, I use that a lot. My grandson will say, you know, every time you talk about something, you say everybody over the age of 12. But everybody over the age of 12 knows that you cannot think clearly if you are emotional.
That's right.
So we're not making
all
the decisions.
No, and now we're having this whole idea for an entire year where everybody's terrified. I mean, it went from being afraid of a virus and then being afraid that we couldn't get enough toilet paper to, you know, are we going to have all these different then businesses were getting shut down. And now I call health departments in every county the new Gestapo, because you almost feel like these county health departments are excited about shutting people down. I mean, I would love to have a debate with somebody from our county health department to discuss this matter. And I understand that every time I've ever reached out to those that work in the county or are elected officials for our county, I am very much informed that it's always about money. Okay, and if we don't follow what Cuomo's doing, and Cuomo went out and said it, that if municipalities and counties don't follow what he wants us to do, he will hold back that funding. Now, we understand a big perspective that, you know, that we hear funding, but it's people's jobs. Right now in New York State, there are more government jobs than there are private sector jobs. So when you hear that he's going to pull money, that means you're going to have to lay people off, right?
So yeah, and especially in our county. How many people in Cuyahoga County?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know in every county, I would be hard-pressed to find somebody that didn't have a family member that worked in government at some capacity, right?
I remember sitting and waiting to be called because I was called in to be a juror, and all of the people in that room were asked, are you related to or do you personally know anyone who works for the state prison? And there were so many people cleared out of that room because they did. I would say more than half.
That's a great reference because it's true. I mean, my own family, tons of my family members work in governments, and then unions as well. Unions is another idea where, you know, we've looked at local candidates in our area who have endorsements from 7 or 8 union organizations. Forget about the corporate funding they get for their campaigns, because if these corporations push progressives and Democrats across the board, they're going to get what they want. And they all come with a gimmick. So ultimately, when it comes to the government jobs, the union jobs, and we're just outnumbered in many cases. I mean, how many people we know work for the unions? We got teachers, we've got construction workers,
the
electricians.
FDA.
I mean,
yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? It's almost like if you want to have a strong opinion, you can't, because you might lose your job.
You can, as long as you are cautious with who you're saying your opinion to. Remember the petition, right? So in August, our beloved legislators were voting a raise for one of theirs, looking to more than double that person's annual salary. And a potential solution to that was to get a petition signed. And I was amazed at how many people said, I would love to be able to sign that petition, but I can't because I'm a county worker, and I'm afraid that I will be pinpointed and something bad will happen to me if I sign that.
And that, to me, that's heartbreaking. I mean, because I heard it, too, when we were trying to collect signatures. I've heard, we've heard so many reasons why people can't or won't speak up because of fear of loss. And that's what our government has created. I mean, we know that we have this push in New York State that government is the answer for everything. But every time government passes another bill in Albany, it creates another agency, and then people are like, great. I mean, look at our county. We sat in that county meeting together while we heard them talk about how they're going to hire 3 COVID employees because they had grant money laying around. I mean, imagine what that $90,000, because it was a $100,000 grant, right? And they had only used $10,000 of it at that point because our county furloughed all of those county workers, so they were home. So there wasn't even really any spending going on. But those grants are specific. I have got multiple shows warning people about grants. And grants are specific, and it has to be COVID-related. And our county, I mean, geez, Cuomo was, after learning more about our county level of what happened, Cuomo was throwing money around like Oprah. You get a grant. You get a grant. I mean, did we even know that they had received a $100,000 grant in our county?
Not just
I
public,
didn't.
But the people who were sitting in that meeting at that time found out, other than the legislators.
Right.
But you know what the legislators' opinions are. The legislators' opinions are is you voted for me to handle these things for you, so just mind your own business and let me do my job.
Yeah, we're in a rough spot in our county. You know, when I moved here 10 years ago, you and I have discussed this before, when I moved here 10 years ago, it was not the county it is today. And it was a Republican-led county. It was very conservative. You know, a lot of gun owners in our county, a lot of American flags. A lot of farmers. And then as I started to progressively go forward, I learned how many farmers are actually Democrat supporters. I mean, we've created a welfare state at every level in our municipalities, in our farms, in our schools, everywhere, in our cities, our counties. We are, for lack of a better term, because it's the best one I've got, we have created a welfare state at every level. So
absolutely,
we sat there and heard that they got $100,000,
man.
And after how many months was that in? Maybe we went to a month and a half. We went to last month, not this past month meeting, the month before that. At that point, they had only used $10,000, and they're like, the whole mentality, and I love that, because, you know, I've said it before, I was an elected official for 4 years in my village. It's amazing, because the whole attitude of, well, you got to use it or you're going to lose it. So now they just hired 3 new COVID employees, right? They're going to scan people's heads at the doors? Really? And then they didn't they just create more government? They just created a bigger government.
Of course they
so
did.
So it's going to get to a point where we're going to lose all our local businesses. All the corporations, well, the big corporations, your Home Depots, your Lowe's, your Walmarts, all of that will stay intact, and we will lose everything around us. I did mention on a past show that one thing I noticed about living on Long Island as opposed to living here was on Long Island, I didn't know many personal business owners, private business owners. I didn't know them. Everybody worked for somebody. Here, we have a lot of entrepreneurs, and it was astounding to see all that local, shop local, support local. And I'm hearing commercials for Seneca County talking about how important it is to shop local, but they're the same little stores that, I mean, people are getting violations for no masks because, pardon the term, the Karens out there calling, I call them the brown shirts. They're calling on their own neighbors because they see somebody at the register not have a mask on, but how do they know that person isn't medically exempt? And how can the county prove who it was because they got a call or a picture? And now we're going to go back and investigate if that person was medically exempt. Where is the freedom in our country anymore? Where is it?
Yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about the people going in and checking our businesses, you know, from the Department of Health, the inspectors. I'm wondering, mm-hmm. and we may never find this out because we're not in on the inside, but I'm wondering if there's a quota. There's got to be some sort of a mandate that is being driven down their throats that says you must walk into this many businesses and this is exactly what you are going to follow, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, it's very possible. I mean, we've heard the term quota in a lot of different, you know, in our police forces and things like that, and it created a lot of pressure on our local law enforcement to now hit these quotas, correct? So, I mean, why wouldn't they do that with the health department as well?
Definitely,
you know, I had a conversation the other day, you know that stigma we heard for many years about, I mean, the stigma about how the police just sit there and eat donuts. Remember years ago, that was the stigma, they're sitting there at the donut shops. And then they kind of turned that around to make it look like our law enforcement was being lazy. Well, they weren't being lazy. They were waiting for the crime to occur. Now we have state troopers and all sorts of law enforcement having to fulfill these speeding ticket quotas and all of that. So, and it's not
thoroughly
exist. Well, I mean, that I know they will deny it exists, but we also know that there's a lot of times when people are not cutting the mold that they don't keep their position either.
They're probably also told, no, this isn't a quota. So because those words are taught to them in their line of duty, they say, oh, no, it's not a quota.
You know, I got to tell you, I was really happy to see that the New York State Troopers Union endorsed Trump. It said a lot because the more and more they put these cameras and all this new technology on the throughways and all the interstates and all that, they're not going to need as many officers, are they? They're not going to need them on the streets because you get on a one toll booth because typically you don't see people wielding guns out windows on the thruway. I mean, I've been living here for 10 years. I haven't seen it once.
Not yet.
But, yeah, right. I mean, with all the riots and everything, we just never know anymore. But most times it's car accidents and speeding. Or your vehicle is disabled in some way. It's either an out light or whatever. And, you know, I'm hoping that our state troopers union was kind of seeing the same thing because Cuomo has been pushing this whole and the technology bit to the throughways. It's the idea that you could get on at one exit and they know how fast you got to the next one and you're going to get mailed a ticket. I mean, at this point, That is crazy. Our state troopers aren't going to be needed on the roads anymore because it's all going to be cameras. Even your broken taillight will be a camera thing that they can pick up. And it's another government corporate partnership as well. Those drive me. When we heard from the get-go of this, the public-private partnerships, remember we heard it out of the federal government as well. Public-private, it's going to be great. We're going to work together, right? Well, who actually is paying those private partnership end of the deal? We are. They're going to come in and they're going to lobby those politicians to, well, we have this great idea and we can do this and we have the masks. And what about that video I posted the other day of that E.T. style helmet that people are putting on and strapping around? Yeah. I mean, think about it. If they could lobby for something like that to be in every office in the government buildings, do you know how much money that company would make? All over fear driven. I mean, and most public-private partnerships happen out of fear. We have another caller. Are we going to bring him on in? Hold on one second.
Great. Excellent.
Let's connect in. Hi there. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm calling from Long Island.
Hi, Linda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, yeah,
I heard
we're
you
good.
Make a comment. I'm so sorry. I don't have a question. I have a statement, okay? I was listening to you talking about, you know, the cameras or whatever they are on the highways and, you know, clocking you from one end, you know, to the other. You know, well, I don't know if you realize or even pay much attention to it, but a lot of these ideas come from Europe. And when I was in England, that's exactly what they do. They will mail you a ticket if they clock you at a certain speed between two different points. So that idea is already implemented somewhere else.
And right. Linda, that's a great point. When I lived in Germany, and when I lived in Germany in 1982, they already have the technology where if you ran a red light, they snapped a picture of the front and the rear of your vehicle, and they sent you a ticket.
That's why it's good to pay attention to what's going on in Europe, because a lot of those ideas filter over to here. Somebody goes, visits, and goes, oh, that's a great idea, and brings it on over.
Well, but what they're not bringing back with them, Linda, is the failures of the results of those things. For example, socialized medicine, right? You know how great socialized medicine is? Socialized medicine is a failure. I have an aunt in Germany who just turned 81 years old, and she has to pay for her medicine and for her medication or for her Medicare. And not only does she have to pay for that, which goes against socialized medicine, right? Because they've had a reform because they know socialized medicine doesn't work. But not only that, but they get the worst care compared to ours. I had a cousin who sat in an emergency room. I shouldn't say sat, laid. He laid in a hallway on a gurney in an emergency room for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
With a heart issue. He had had a heart attack, and he was in that hallway for 5 days. He could have died, but it doesn't matter. It's socialized medicine. My aunt cannot choose her doctor. A doctor is assigned to her. Now, imagine the worst doctor you ever dealt with in your entire life. Imagine that person being assigned to you because of socialized medicine, and you could go to nobody else. These are the things that are being brought from other countries.
Let's remember, ladies, government loves the lowest bidder. So ultimately,
the lowest bidder is typically the one with the less quality and the worst performance.
Absolutely. Hence why we're constantly doing our roads over. It's always an interesting concept that we allocate this money, and socialized medicine is terrifying. When we've heard stories out of England and Canada, people are waiting months. This is what happens when you let government dictate every single facet of your life. This
right.
is what happens. They're going to tell you what doctor you can go, and it's happening in our schools here. People have to understand that those school districts that are joining forces with local clinics, I know my son is 26 years old, and I know that I was very specific about the doctors my son would see. And I had that choice to pick which doctor my son would go to. But when you send your child off to school and they say to you, oh, no, it's great. Even if they're sick, send them into school. We'll send them over to the clinic because then you can go to work. And that's what's going on. They just want us in work. I mean, we know Kamala Harris has a bill out to extend the school day. I mean, this couldn't be more socialism. I don't know what would be more socialism. I mean, actually,
by
like us getting
hours,
on trains.
By three hours, by the way.
Yep. They tried that here in Auburn, New York. Lydia, I don't know if you're aware of that. A few years ago, they were voting. They were public comment, and they had a big discussion, and the layout was just so terrible. I mean, why would you keep these children that long? Do we go to work from 7 a.m. until 5 o'clock and now you have 15-minute recess? You're talking about children and their most developmental portions of their lives are just going to sit there and just have to learn, and then go home, have visitation rights with their parents, and then do it all again the next day?
Well, my older grandson was part of a beta program in his school, and he was actually part of a group that started class earlier and got out later. And as a result of that, he actually had 3 study halls a day.
It's a babysitting now. I've been saying this for years. The public education system is falling apart at the seams. Test scores are down 34% in New York State as of 2017 statistics. I mean, it is just absurd. The parents, we're paying more attention to the sexual agenda in the schools and the social-emotional issues of the BLM, and all of these are being pushed into our school districts via mandates, via money that they get portions. And let me tell you something, when it comes to schools, your public schools may get a crumb, but for that crumb, the unfunded mandates that come alongside it are astronomical. So if they give you money for, 5 kids to get a tablet, but it's required that all kids get a tablet, well, where's that magical money coming from? It's going to come from our pockets. That's why you'll even see small districts with under 1,000 children having astronomical budgets because of the unfunded mandates and union contracts. I mean, we're just drowning in an agenda to consolidate things too. I mean, we're pushing it to that people can't even live in their own communities anymore. So I don't know. I guess at this point we got to really understand that local control is just so important. I cannot emphasize local control enough. And that if we don't get educated at the county and municipality level and start learning how to correct our own communities, we're going to be in trouble.
Okay,
Linda,
ladies,
can I ask you?
Linda,
before you go, are you a homeowner in Long Island?
Yes, I am.
Do you pay school taxes?
Yes, I do. And I'm kind
do you
of
have,
a little weary about what the next bill's coming in at, because we've been told they're going up.
Do you have school-age children right now?
No, I don't. I have grandchildren.
Now, how is it, and I was asked this question seriously last week when a friend of mine who spent a lot of his life living in Texas as a homeowner, as an adult, said to me, why here in New York do I have to pay school taxes when I do not, and from this point forward, will not ever have school-aged children?
Question out there for many, 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 many years.
But never.
Right. I mean, you're paying for a service that you can't even use. You're paying for
exactly
a service.
Right.
And you can't
even
use it.
Raising the cost of salaries and everything else like that, and who are they going to get to sucker in to do it? Well, us.
You know what I think would be a great idea? If all the older community in each town just said, I'm coming to school today. I wonder what kind of impact that would be. I'm paying for this building. I'm going to eat the school lunch. I'm going to use your library. Oh, you're doing music class today? That would be great.
Well, you know that ever since, the shootings in the schools, all these schools did
nobody's
the heck with COVID, you're basically locked down. I mean, the security that you have to go through to get even into a school in a really nice neighborhood, let alone I've been into a school where there's armed guards at the door. Okay, that's worse neighborhoods, but it's there's no such thing as walking into a school anymore.
No,
right.
And that started really early here in our districts, too. They don't even let the parents call in my district during the day. You can't call the teachers during the day. So everything is just so shut down. And these children,
when my kids were young, if they forgot their lunch, I would go down to school and walk in there. Yeah, I went to the principal office first, but they would call my child down and I would give them their lunch. Oh, no, not now.
Yeah, well, I also know that from myself when I first moved here and my daughter started school here, much like my mom, who was very involved in the schools and my life in school, I went down to the elementary school and I said, okay, sign me up. I can be an aide. I want to volunteer. You know, there used to be the class moms. Remember class moms? And I walked in and I said, I'm ready. Because I knew it with my own son. If I went to my son's school when he was younger on Long Island, I could say, I want to be a volunteer. You need a lunch, mom, you need whatever, what is it you need? And they would always be looking for that. Now, don't you save money when parents are showing up? And I mean, like, I wanted to do it for free. My daughter was there. But I was told, oh, no, we eliminated those positions long ago, you know, where there's no more volunteers. Everyone is a paid aide. So who did that? Teachers unions? Who did that? Government? Because I know that any parent and any group of parent in their right mind would not necessarily think that's a good idea. If you know that Mrs. Fricano down the road is willing to volunteer her time at the school, wouldn't that save the school money?
Right.
Or, better yet, since kindergarten is not mandated in New York State, I know a story about back here in our school district that I'm in. There was a woman, a very wonderful woman, who, when kindergarten started to occur in other counties and other cities and other areas that were getting the funding to open up those kindergarten classes, but it was not mandated. So they would have to write that into their budgets, right? You know, if you chose as a school district to pay for a kindergarten teacher, you would have to write that into your budget, and it would have to be open, you know, a hearing would happen after that budget was discussed. Well, this lovely lady, all the years that she was the kindergarten teacher, she never took a salary. She never took a salary the entire time she was the kindergarten teacher. I mean, and how phenomenal is that, that we see community members, they see an issue, because I say there are no problems, there are only situations we must overcome, and they see that situation and they overcame it. And she's just the most loveliest lady. I love her. She was the sweetest lady, not that she ever taught my children, but I knew her later in life, well after she had retired. Now, I know that there's been times in my own community where I saw something was lacking. Or even I remember there's a little step across the way where it's a one little cement step down the little hill, but it's just a little step. And it was broken on the edge, and it was crumbling off the side. And I remember one of our citizens volunteered his time, and I remember looking out my window because I can see it through my window. And I saw his truck over there. I was like, huh, what's he doing? And do you know he was volunteering his time, his energy, and his resources to fix that step? We didn't have to call. I mean, you know, when people just jump in, I mean, imagine that. If all of a sudden citizens in their community was like, oh, I see that's broken over there, and, you know, my friend's a mason, maybe he has some time or something, and all of a sudden we just fixed it, and we fixed it ourselves, or we learned how to balance our own budgets. You know, I did, Lydia, I did share that video with you recently that I made about how my community had, when I first ran, that the community here, one of the members had suggested raising our taxes 12%. I mean, isn't that us? I mean, think about it. If we're going to do our own households and we're trying to balance our own budgets, sometimes we have to put a little bit more money into other things to fix them personally. So that's what a community can do. They can decide on their own. They get to those budget discussions. They hear the problems. They can even hear where things could change. And then they can have their input in a public hearing. And if you go to that public hearing and you have the numbers show up to stand up against what's going on, like, could you imagine in our county, Lydia, if everyone stood up at a county meeting and said, don't tell Cuomo to shove it. Tell Cuomo and his money to shove it. Open us back up. We'll figure this out. We will open our tourism. We will have those stores running again. What do you think, Lydia?
I would love to that happen. However, you've got the fear mongering, right? You've got the people who, when we were talking about petitions, right? I can't go in and talk like that to the county legislators because I could lose my job.
Right. It all goes back to the fear.
Yes, we're stopped before the threshold. But one of the things that I would like to see is transparency in our local governments. You know, the thing with the raise for that county legislator, that caught me by surprise. I could not imagine for the life of me that my county legislator could do that without at least bringing that topic to me. Somehow, publicly posting it, whatever, somehow saying, hey, we're going to vote on this. And this is how I'm going to vote, and this is why. But instead, when we talk to our legislators and we say, hey, we hear this is going on, you can't vote for that. And they'll say, you know, you voted for me, just I'm going to do my job and it's none of your business. How I vote, why I vote, or when I vote.
Yep. You voted for me to make decisions for you. And that's what I've heard a lot. And that is never the case, because as I said, as an elected official for 4 years, there was never once I felt like it was my God-given right to decide every facet. Yes, do the people entrust you to make smart, intelligent decisions when you are elected? Yes, you would hope that whatever their stances were during their campaign, whatever their platform was, that if you voted for that platform, that would come into fruition and that would come true. But ultimately, I think that on the big issues and things that anything, just, I mean, and now with social media, there's no excuse. There's no excuse to not know what's going on in whatever seat you're in. Turn around and tell the people, because you cannot make these decisions by yourselves. And that's why town halls used to happen. There was more town hall meetings for a long time. And now all of a sudden town hall meetings turn into like an election circus. That's not a town hall meeting.
It's not a town hall meeting anymore. It's a town board meeting now.
Yeah.
So the term has shifted, as has the attitude and the purpose.
Absolutely. But, forgive me. But ultimately, sorry. Hold on. You ladies discuss. Hold on a moment.
Linda, was there something else that you wanted to talk about?
No, I just really, you know, I heard you talking about that, you know, thing with the, you know, with the highways and getting tickets, you know, depending on how fast you're going, you know, and I thought, let me just throw this in there, because I was to England, you know, a few years ago and already heard about that over there, you know, so you know that. Yeah, it is. But, you know, if the right people get in there, well, I'm not calling them the right people, but if the wrong people get in there, they're going to initiate that, you know. I mean, they're always looking for money every which way. They nickel and dime us through our phone bills, through our electric bills, through every bill they can think of. Even when we buy a car, the MV50 money goes right to the city. You know, it's just it's terrible how they nickel and dime us, and they would have no problem doing that. I mean, you know, in England also, you know how we have the recycling bins here? They have monitors in their recycling bins. And if they're not deemed to have put in as much as expected, like according to how they did in the past, they will be fined. That's insane.
In Germany, every household has 5 different bins.
Oh, God.
And they're sorted different ways.
Oh, it blows my mind. And yet here in New York, we're supposed to recycle, but they don't recycle much of anything.
No, are you aware?
Are you aware that if you're not a resident, if you're a building owner, or if you're a school or if you're a public building, those are not required to recycle anything. They do not have a recycle picked up at the schools or anything like that. No matter how many seems like they might have a bin for whatever, I found out that anything that's public, they're not required to, because they can't get the pickup trucks there at a certain time or whatever. So they just waived that. You know, all public buildings not required to have recycling. So it's just us little peons in our little homes.
Right. And it makes no sense whatsoever, because those larger buildings, occupants, have more waste than we could ever begin to generate.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Go to a school lunchroom. I mean, the kids throw out it all.
Well, how about a hospital?
I mean, they'll actually, or a hospital, or any of it. When you go to cafeterias and courtrooms and all of it, people throw it all out. They put cans, all of it, right in a garbage can. Right in a garbage can. And I'm watching Seneca Meadows over here, landfill, at an astronomic rate, grow like a mountain. I mean, Everest would be jealous because it's growing so fast that, you know, I don't think other mountains can keep up. And it's disgusting.
Seneca Meadows is our local dumping site in Seneca County. Didn't they give that a pretty name, Seneca Meadows?
Oh, they have a museum over there. They have a museum that kids can come and visit, and it's downwind. It's actually up. It's away from the smell. The smell is astronomical because
yeah,
I can.
Upwind.
I live miles. Yeah. It's on one side of Cayuga Lake, and I live on the other side of Cayuga Lake, almost in alignment with it. And man, the smell is coming here more and more. I've been smelling it twice this week. We walk out our front door, and it would hit you like a ton of bricks. And that's all poison in the air. It's just poison. And that landfill, by the way, Lydia, you must know, too, that landfill takes garbage from New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Jersey, Maryland, Long Island, New York City, and here.
And all of New York State.
All of New York State. There was Pennsylvania, too, and it's. I think it was sold recently. I don't know. I heard something recently about it that might have changed hands, but I know that all this time it was a Canadian-owned government. So all that money's going to Canada for a landfill.
So they can use our place as a dumping ground. Yay.
Isn't that just so lovely? And then they put the casino right down the road. That's a selling point. Here, come to our beautiful state-funded casino and then, you know, check out the crap pile down the road.
Well,
it's
on
astounding.
That smelly note, I think I'm going to get going.
Well,
thank you, Linda,
so much
for calling.
It was great.
All right, you guys have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
Thank you.
So many things. I mean, the rabbit holes are endless. But again, it's always about contracts. I know that limited government is actually something we all kind of strive for, right, Lydia? We want less. Less is more. I've found that. I learned that especially coming from Long Island to Central New York, because I'll give one example since we're on the garbage topic. On Long Island, the same family of four, two parents, two children, will have two garbage days and a recycle day of pickups. So 3 days out of the week, they got those trucks rolling.
Wow.
Right. And imagine the astronomical cost for that. Then we move here, and all of a sudden our spending changed. It changed dramatically. We weren't consumed. Like, by the time you got to my block where I grew up on Long Island, you probably drove past 200 stores. I'm not even kidding. By the time you went from Suffolk County to Nassau County, you've passed probably 200 stores. So the urgency, the sales to go in and buy, oh, that's right, I have to go pick that up. Oh, right, I was thinking about that thing. When we moved here and now had to actually go physically drive where the stores were, or there was no fast food or, like, not fast food, but, you know, your Chinese food restaurants and your pizza places and all of that, they're not on every corner, and most don't even deliver out to the country. So our spending got less. In the sense that we weren't getting the takeout that is so easily, you know, we went from at least getting takeout two nights a week because you're tired, you're both working because you have to both work on Long Island. And then we moved here and we were able to fortunately have me being able to stay home to be a stay-at-home mom. And I was able to cook the meals and make fresh dinners for my family and we weren't ordering out. So my one garbage pail typically isn't even full on garbage day here, but on Long Island, they will tell you that they need every single one of those garbage days because they fill it up. It's just one of those things. Can you see the dynamics in the different areas? Lydia, you've been around.
Absolutely.
Lydia, you've lived in different locations. Spending happens differently in locations too.
Absolutely, and a lot of it is mindset. And like
Absolutely.
You said, the mindset can be created outwardly, or if you have a strong enough sense of values, you can overcome those outward influences and you can do things the right way, the way that you were raised, and make the right choices.
Right. And sometimes you don't, like you said, it's just conditioning. You're in an area, you don't necessarily even know you're living a certain way like you are. And then you go and experience another lifestyle.
Yeah.
Huh?
Until
it's true. I mean,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, until you leave, exactly. And I left, and I say it all the time. I miss and love my friends from Long Island. I miss salty seafood from Long Island. You know, the food was always amazing. You know, I always loved my Long Island pizza. There'll be people that beg to differ in New York that says it's better in Buffalo. They know who they are. But for me, there was nothing like a Long Island pizza and getting lox with capers and cream cheese on an everything egg bagel. I mean, those things are not the same way here. Now, if I can reproduce it at home, but I can't go out and get it in places like that. And so it's different, you know, but here I never knew about salt potatoes. That was non-existent on Long Island. I didn't even know about salt potatoes. And I didn't know about the different types of food that came here and all the freshwater fish and things like that. I love a good fish fry. I love a good fish fry, and that's not something that was a custom on Long Island. But, you know, a lot of times every area has their own best thing to offer, but the way it's presented is different. You know, a lot of times here we hear about a chicken barbecue, and we're like, okay, what cause is this going to? Not a bad way, because it's usually to help somebody that's hurting. You know, that somebody, you find out that it's somebody whose family member is suffering with cancer, and this is, you know, a fundraiser, the local fundraiser to try to raise money for that, or a church is, you know, looking to get supplies for a local youth group, and they're raising money to buy the supplies for the local youth group. It's just different. What's your take on that?
Yeah. No, you're right. Things are regional. Every region has their pros and every region has their cons. And I do like the fact that Linda called in and she talked about what people bring back from other parts of the world, because there are some really good things that are brought back from other parts of the world. We're global and there's no way around that. There are good and there are bad from that. The thing is, and I know I'm kind of swaying from what you're just talking about, but the problem is when we do bring things in from other countries or other regions, we're not bringing back the whole picture. We're just bringing back little pieces. And we'll talk about the chicken barbecues. The chicken barbecues aren't just to generate revenue. You're talking about the chicken barbecues where people are saying, we have a group in need, and we are going to give you something, something that you will value, and you will pay for it, a nominal fee, and you're happy, you're getting an awesome product, because there's no chicken barbecue better than what comes out of Central New York. Anyway.
Amen. Amen.
But so not only are you getting something awesome, you're donating for a great cause. And that is an amazing thing. And not all regions look at it that way. Some regions are, hey, so-and-so's in need, give us money. Give till it hurts, you know, with nothing in return. And we're in an area, maybe we devised it this way because we're in an area where we're making things happen the best we can with what little we have. And because of that, it has given us opportunity to be creative and to make a difference, not only for the people in need, but for the people who are helping those in need. So I think that that's So that's great. You know, I see the difference. You came from Long Island. I came from West. I came from the Buffalo area. And a little bit of a
Where they think the pizza's better. Sorry.
Well, they definitely have better wings, right? Because that was the home of
the top
wings.
Notch, the best wings in the whole wide world, that's for sure. See, every region has their best thing that they have things to bring to the table that are, make their place exceptional. It's very true.
They do.
But,
and I had no idea.
I mean, for you and
I,
though, let me ask you this. I know that we're talking about regions, and I know that things vary, but I guess maybe we're coming to a conclusion that smaller is better. You know, it got me thinking about what Doreen had said earlier in the conversation about how our county, we know we can trust the Board of Election in our county, and I really do agree with her. You know, I know some of those women, and I know that they're the people that are working in that department dedicated to their job. And I still wonder, with all this that we've talked about for the last hour and a half, is smaller better? Do people know how to resolve their issues in their own communities because we learned how to?
That smaller is better, which is why I came from Western New York. I came from Buffalo, huge city, to this small area. When I first came out here, I didn't even realize Auburn was a city. And I drove around Auburn for weeks trying to figure out what makes it a city. I don't know. Is it because there are 5 traffic lights? I don't know. It's just this little.
I'm like, just like you, my friend. I was just the same way. I said, this looks like a town on Long Island.
Yeah, it's
just a regular town, not a city.
Little thing. But you know, I really fell in love with this area. Smaller is better, but again, I'm going to go to the, you know, there's good and there's bad and everything. When you come from a large area like you and I both do, there is anonymity in numbers. So I can state my voice, I can speak my mind, and I'm not going to worry about being slammed or about anybody making me pay for that. But here in Cayuga County, your voice is not anonymous.
No. It's not anonymous, and you're not lost in the mix like I felt like my son was in the largest school districts on Long Island, as opposed to how he flourished and bloomed when we brought him here to Central New York with a smaller environment, with a more one-on-one. But in regards to our local city here, the Auburn city of Auburn, I mean, talk about a city rich in history. I mean, we are graced to have some amazing American citizens. I mean, we are blessed to be able to take a 15-minute drive to go see Harriet Tubman's house, one of the most strongest Black American conservative women this country has ever seen. Talk about gun-toting. And
do you know that she walked from here to what, Maryland? Walked that track more than
once. Wow, I did not.
She survived shotgun blast to her face and kept working. I mean, this woman was amazing with the things that she did for humankind, for mankind, and for the sake of humanity. And I think that if she were here today, she would be very disappointed with what we have done with all of her efforts.
Oh, there's many probably turning in their graves right now. I mean, and this city is rich in so much history, too. I mean, this is where sound was put to movies. We have the first electrocution here.
Yes, we did. And that electric chair is still here in Auburn.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the house I live in was the first courthouse of Cayuga County. That is something that this county is so rich in as history, and you can still physically see that history here. And one of the things that always makes me sad is I love history innately. It was my favorite subject, still is my favorite subject, and to research and delve into. But on Long Island, you know what you found was a lot of those historical blue signs. You know, once was, this year lied, or, you know,
yeah.
And now there's a Bank of America there. Or,
right.
You know, there's still a lot of history on Long Island. Don't get me wrong. We have the Vanderbilt Planetarium and Mansion that's there. There's plenty of different little spots of historic nature, but now it's not like it was. And we're starting to see that happen here. There's things that are coming in and taking out others. You know, I understand that, you know, the Cultural Heritage Center put up in Auburn was a tourist, what do you want to call it, the tourist where they stop and they get the flyers and people come through. But it's, you first walk in and there's such an agenda in that building. You can see it. You can see the agenda in that. You know, I've seen pictures of it. I've never stepped foot in it because I don't agree with it, and I think it was money wasted. But, you know, and then you had all the people from the YMCA upset because they could no longer park and walk in, and the elderly people are now suffering because now we have this cultural heritage center that wasn't necessary. Our city could have used that money so many other ways, but I know that the block grant money that Auburn has received, they needed to fulfill certain benchmarking tasks to be able to do that, and the cultural heritage center is one of them. And then you have the reverse parking, you have the electric car charging stations they put in, and these were all benchmarking tasks that I know as an elected official, you need to fulfill out of taxpayers' pockets before you can actually get the grant money that the big chunk you're going to get. And then you have to hope that your city council doesn't just give it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that votes for them. You know, so it's very upsetting.
When I listen to you talk, Tara, there are things that just kind of start rolling around in my brain. The first one is, did you hear what happened to the historian's office last week and what they did to that poor historian? So I'll let you look into that, and you might want to talk about it on another show.
I will. And we are running out of time, unfortunately, Lydia. I mean, we have to do this again. We must do this again.
Absolutely. I had a great time. I really do appreciate it. I can't believe that 90 minutes is almost up already. I thank you very much for making me feel such a welcome guest. For
Absolutely.
letting me speak unencumbered. One thing I would like to say is that people cannot panic. They can't be overtaken by their emotions. It's very important that they don't. They need to think about things critically. Critical thinking is something that people are not practicing right now. And
I
that's
can't
a hazard.
Agree more.
That
Thank you so much, Lydia. I really appreciate you coming on to the show today, and we will be doing this again. I hope you have a great day. And God
Thank
bless,
you,
girl.
Go
we'll be talking
vote
soon.
Early.
Vote
Absolutely.
Early. That's
vote
right.
Early. Don't forget.
That's
Thanks,
right.
Sarah.
Thanks, Lydia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me for this week's show of Moms Watching Media. It was fantastic to have all the callers come in and give me their input and express their concerns with what's going on in today's world. I want to say get out and vote early, guys. As much as I was not a proponent of it before, I really think that everyone should get out and vote early, vote red, vote progressivism and socialism out. Thank you so much, and God bless.
America. What is America's destiny?
Do you like talking about health matters? Do you struggle with your weight? Are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired?
Why are you talking in that tone? What's with your voice?
Well, I was watching a bunch of conspiracy videos on YouTube,
and they sound more ominous and compelling when the voices are, like, really low and scary.
You're ridiculous.
No, seriously. Check it out. Do you like vegetables? Are you presently living gluten-free? Are you a member?